Hey, Tommy and Eddie, the Skit Guys here, and it's that time of year again when churches are looking for Vacation Bible School volunteers. I am so excited.
Tommy loves VBS like four-year-olds love pixie sticks.
That's true. And I've got a great idea on how to get me involved this year.
Whoa. Hey, we talked about no pyrotechnics, all right? That's a no-go, all right?
We can revisit that, but it's not that. I'm a skit guy, right? So, wait for it.
Anyway, VBS is a great time for you to get involved. Even if you've never done it, maybe this is the year that you say yes to Vacation Bible School and see... Hey, look at there. VBS puppets. So that works. Okay, who we got here? Is this long hair? Is this Samson?
No, it's Noah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Noah, sure. What's going on? What's happening?
It's the moment where he has his nervous breakdown on the boat.
Okay. I don't really want... You see, when you volunteer for VBS... And what are we doing with this right here? What are we doing?
Pull back my hair.
I'm not...
It's the stench of all the animals. It's awful.
We don't need to do that. Okay, you're going too dark with this.
God told me to do it. 40 cubits by 20 cubits. 40 cubits by 20 cubits. Shh, it's okay. It's okay, Noah. Look at me, look at me. Look, the unicorn scout boat should be back any moment now. Let's go check on it. Come on, it's okay.
You're making this too complicated. And volunteering for VBS isn't complicated at all. It's a worthwhile, wonderful thing. So don't forget to sign up and volunteer for VBS, because you can use your gifts and talents to make a difference in kids' lives.
What do you mean the Unicorn Scout boat sank? No!
It's really not as hard as he's making it look.
Hey, is that a rainbow?
VBS is in 1 week. Woo. So I'm excited. I hope you're getting excited. I thank you so much for everybody that stepped up and volunteered. I have every spot filled. Thank you, God. Thank you, all of you. I'm really, really excited. If you still want to come in and help in any way, I'm sure I can put you to use somehow. One way that you can help is next week. We need to clear everything out, and we have to turn this into the Savannah. So it's going to be a difficult task, but one that I know we can do. If you can stay for an hour, a couple of hours next week, it would really, really help get everything kind of set up for the week. You'll get to see it all again on Sunday, because we're going to do a little change this year. Our VBS closing celebration is not going to be on Friday night. It's going to be on Sunday morning. So we should have a nice little crew of kids up here. I already have some signed up. If you haven't signed your kids up yet, please click on that registration link on our website. If you need it, just let me know and I will get it to you. They're going to perform for you. You're going to see what they've learned about all week. And then we get to go to a picnic. So, I mean, what could be better than that? So next week, if you can just put in some hard work to help us out, please. And then the week after, we'll get to celebrate. If you have volunteered, which I know a lot of you are here, thank you. I have materials for you downstairs. I have t-shirts. I have some list of different things that you need to do in your groups. I have the time schedule so you can kind of get yourself prepared. Anybody else that has any sort of specific materials, I have that for you as well. If you have any questions, if you are wanting to do something to help out, one of the biggest things that you can do is just pray for us, pray for our leaders, pray for our kids, pray for the weather, pray that I don't have a nervous breakdown like the puppet Noah on the boat. So far, so good. And just thank you all so much for everything that you've done to help us out so far. Thank you.
Well, that's fun, or will be fun. I hope you all join in festivities. Also on that last Sunday for the closing program will also be our picnic. So be prepared for that. Dress comfortably, and we'll hang out outside for a couple of hours with each other and enjoy the food and the fellowship. If the ushers are prepared, we'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. Let me just pray first. God, we thank you for all that you do for us, all the provision that you give to us, not only as individuals, but for this church. And God, we pray that as we obediently give to you and to this work, you would multiply and you would use it for your glory. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Oh, wait, I'm not as free as our pastor. I need some props. Yeah, it's me again. So today, in keeping with our theme, the Holy Spirit, He changes everything. We're going to look at another little area I'm calling our motives. He's our motivator. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, He begins to transform us from the inside out. What we would never do before we knew Christ, now we're motivated and compelled to do as Christians filled with His Spirit and anointed by Him. Paul tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit when we believe. In Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, and my scripture will all be from the NIV today on the screen, Paul says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." Something has to change in our lives when the Holy Spirit comes in and takes residence in our heart. We'd never be the same. We'd be led by Him, leading, guiding, instructing, if in fact we are filled with his Spirit. And every one of us has some natural talents, natural gifts, natural abilities that God has instilled in us from birth. And as we grow, sometimes we experience those and we utilize them the best we can in the flesh. Before Christ, we used these gifts usually for personal gain or recognition. And that's one of the things that has to change. When we receive the Holy Spirit, He transforms our lives. He changes our motives from self to other-centered. It's a shift. The Spirit enhances those natural gifts that were given from birth and supercharges them, in a sense, to be used for the kingdom of God. Alan Loy McGinnis tells this story. First, he says, "A proven motivator will make it to the top before a proven genius." Think about that. A proven motivator will make it to the top before a proven genius. And then he tells this story. He says, when Andrew Carnegie hired Charles Schwab to administer his far-flung steel empire, Schwab became the first man in history to earn $1 million a year under someone else's employ. Schwab was asked what equipped him to earn $3,000 a day. Was it his knowledge of steel manufacturing? "Nonsense," said Schwab. "I have lots of men working for me who know far more about steel than I do." Schwab was paid such a handsome amount largely because of his ability to inspire other people. "I consider my ability to arouse enthusiasm the greatest asset I possess," he said. "And any leader who can do that can go almost anywhere and name almost any price." True. He was a gifted motivator. It was a gift from God that was instilled in him from birth, that he developed over time. Can you imagine if he would have recognized it as a gift from God? Can you imagine if he would have asked the Lord into his heart and the Holy Spirit took that gift and enhanced it even more than what he was able to accomplish? Imagine what he could do for the kingdom of God. Our text for today is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And Paul writes this. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us or given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Lord, we pray your blessing on the reading and the preaching of your word today, and ask your anointing as we move forward in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here a portion of scripture, and it looks like it has different sections that are almost not related. But of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes when he inspired Paul to write this. So it's all grouped together in one section of scripture in most translations, and I'm glad that it is. He starts off with this idea of humility. Becomes the determining factor. Even the passage heading in my NIV says, humble service in the body of Christ. Humble service in the body of Christ. So let's explore this a bit before getting into the gift portion that I want to end with. Eugene Peterson says this, here's the basic tension. We keep trying to confine worship to the sanctuary, to preaching, prayers, and parish announcements, and to religious experiences. But God is commanding us to extend it to home, work, neighborhood, and leisure. Worship is the style of life in which our bodies become living sacrifices offered up before God. I relate this to when I was a kid. I attended church every Sunday. In fact, it was a sin not to attend church. I don't know if it still is, but when I grew up, it was. I went through all the routines, all the motions. I went through all the religious holidays. I was in church whenever I was either dragged there or went on my own. But the rest of the week was mine, so I could do what I pleased, and I did. I had no clue what my life was like in the eyes of God. I had no real understanding or knowledge of God. I had no relationship with God. I was sensitive to the things of God. I wanted to learn what was necessary to please him. But I really had no clue who God really was, from a scriptural or personal relationship standpoint. So before we get into the gifts, I'd like to look at the beginning of this chapter and see what Paul was concerned with. In Romans 12, the first two verses, Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul prefaces our text that we just read with this little short passage that kind of sets everything else up that follows. And then he presents the text for today. His focus is on humility in the Christian life. We must approach God with a broken and contrite spirit, we're told in other places in Scripture. Then he can use us for his glory. If we come with pride about all God has done for us and what great experiences I've, it just doesn't work. We wind up forfeiting the goal of pleasing God and being used for him and by him. So before we attempt to serve God in any capacity, we really need to come before him in repentance, in humility, and ask him to bring forgiveness into our lives. Ask him to change our head and our heart in relation to him. This is the sacrifice that he requires of us. That's why Paul says, bring your bodies as a living sacrifice. We need to come before God humbly and acknowledge that we need his forgiveness and restoration. And then we can serve him completely. How pure are your motives? How pure are my motives? I often hit the street running. I'm going to fix this while we're standing here. It's driving me crazy. Okay. I often hit the street running. I don't really spend a whole lot of time seeking God and bearing my heart in before Him before doing what I think He's asked me to do. I just do it. You know, I mean, it's just like natural to me. He honors my efforts most of the time. But am I really doing what He wants? Am I really pleasing God? The only way for this to happen in our lives is to be transformed by His Holy Spirit. We're to bring all that we have and all that we are before Him as a sacrifice. And if we're sincere and continue in that way, He'll give us the gifts that we need to serve the kingdom. We're all meant to live and serve with others. Peterson continues and says, none of us can live the abundant life as hermits. We're members of one another. We exist in a family together, not alone. No one would ever put anyone else before themselves in the natural realm. There's no reason to. We're not taught that way from the beginning of our lives. It's, what can I do for me? How can I protect me? If there's room left over, I may help somebody else in need. But that's not my motivation before Christ. And that's what He changes in each of our hearts. We would be considered foolish in the eyes of the world if we extended ourselves to others before our own needs, wouldn't you? Don't you think? How can we possibly go against the natural order of things to follow Paul's and God's instruction to us in this area? The answer is, we can't. We can't. Enter the Holy Spirit. It's only when we can, when we consider that God has given us everything we have and everything we are, that we can learn to appreciate and be dependent on Him in serving the kingdom of God. So let's get back to our text. Romans 12, 3 through 8, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So here Paul's establishing the groundwork before he gets to telling us about the gifts that God has for each of us. He uses himself as an example to follow, as he does in other places as well. So we're to be humble the way Paul is humble. And he says he models himself after Christ. It's only by God's grace that we are who we are. And if we receive anything from the Lord, it's for His use and glory, not ours. So we need to judge ourselves. We need to judge our own motives. We need to peer into our own heart and see what it is that's really driving us, what it is that we're looking to get out of the situation. We all receive the measure of faith, Paul tells us. Faith grows with maturity, but each of us has a measure of faith that God is continually feeding, and we are feeding also by our actions. Realize that God has given to each of us, each of you, that measure of faith, what's needed for what He calls you to do. Everyone's different, and we all receive a different portion of faith at any given time. And we can't look at other people's personal spirituality and compare it to ourselves. That's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to grow and use the faith He's given you for His kingdom and His glory at His calling. So don't compare yourself spiritually with anyone else. And don't exaggerate your own importance. Another part of Paul's instruction to us about humility. Verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So he uses this analogy of the body with many parts in a number of places in Scripture, and usually when he's talking about spiritual gifts, to show that there's different gifts, but one body. So we're all members of his one body, and we all have different functions and callings and giftings, and they're given to us from God to accomplish what he's created each of us individually to do for his kingdom. No one gift is better or more prestigious than another. We seem to categorize people's gifts, how spiritual this one is or how spiritual that one is, by the things that we see them manifesting in the body of Christ. And God doesn't look at it that way. Everyone is the same. All the gifts are the same. He'll give them differently to different people and use you in that area of gifting. But it doesn't make you more spiritual than your neighbor. Just different. They're all equal when used in the proportion to our faith for his glory. And as members of the same body, we cannot work independently. We depend on the gifts of the others around us in the church and in the body of Christ. None of us can single-handedly run the whole show. We depend on each other and need each other and need the gifts that each other has. And we could try on our own to accomplish much. We could even try to motivate others in our own strength. But is it really effective? Or as effective? Or is it really God's will and plan? There was a game warden named Jake. He was always amazed at the fisherman, Sam. At the end of each day, Sam would bring two or three stringers full of large fish. The other fishermen all brought one or two fish. Sam brought stringers of fish. The lake was filled with fish, but it seemed like they eluded most of the fishermen there, except for Sam. What was his trick? And the curiosity of the game warden got to him. So one day he said to Sam, "Sam, please, I need to know your secret." And Sam, a man of few words, said, "Be here tomorrow morning." So Jake got there before dawn the next day, and Sam met him, and they got in Sam's boat, and they motored out for about 30 or 40 minutes to a secluded portion of the lake. And Sam was very cautious, didn't want to know anyone else to know where they were or what they were doing. And Jake said, well, to himself, he folded his arms, he sat back and figured, well, let me just watch Sam do his thing. And Sam reached down into his tackle box and he took out a stick of dynamite and he lit it and he threw it up in the air, and as it came down, right before it hit the water, there was a huge explosion, and within seconds all fish started rising to the surface, all different sizes, and he rowed and picked up with his net all the larger fish and put them on the stringer. At that point, Jake came unglued. He said, what are you doing? You can't do that. I'm going to throw the book at you. You're going to wind up paying penalties. I could put you in jail for this. At that point, Sam reached down into his tackle box, took another stick of dynamite out, and he lit it and threw it in Jake's lap. And he said, are you going to sit there watching all day or are you going to fish? See, there's motivation in there, but maybe not something we would want to emulate. Verses 6 to 8. Back on a serious note. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So Paul goes through seven gifts here. It's not an exhaustive list. It's just a few examples that he's given, but they're very practical and very relevant, especially for the work in the church. So he starts off with the biggie that most people consider the biggie, prophesying. I mean, who doesn't want to prophesy? He doesn't really give a definition here, but we have to kind of extract from 1 Corinthians 14 what prophesying and prophecy is really all about. It's speaking for God. It's communicating some revealed truth to others. It's used sometimes to convict people of sin and always to build up the body of Christ, the church. And it may seem like a very prestigious gift, a very desirable gift to many of us, but then we have to go back and listen to what Paul started to say in the beginning. No gift is any better than any other. And if the Holy Spirit has gifted you in this area, then use it in accordance with the measure of faith that you have. Don't overextend. It's not about you. It's about God. So use your gift, if He's given you this gift and enhanced it in your life, to work for the Lord. Don't inflate yourself. Just use it for the body of Christ. What He desires, how He directs. No more, no less. Second gift he talks about is serving. It's kind of a broad term, hard to pin down for the most part. But it seems to indicate in our context here an empowerment by the Spirit to serve the church. That take on many forms. I personally am motivated by the Spirit of God in this gift of serving. I never tire of serving the body of Christ. It's not an effort for me. Other things I struggle with, but serving is something that I'm compelled to do. I'm propelled by the Spirit. And with all that I do and with all that I've done, I never think of it as a look at me thing, how great I art, you know? I just do whatever I can to make things work better for the body of Christ, for the church, for the congregation. I would never use my time and my energy to do any of that if it weren't for Christ and for the Spirit of God. Why would I bother? What's in it for me? That's how we have to keep ourselves in check. The Holy Spirit is our motivator. He compels me to serve whenever needed and wherever needed. And He'll do the same for you. Especially if you're gifted in this area by Him, then He will compel you. And Paul doesn't elaborate with this gift. He says if your gift is serving, then like the Nike slogan says, just do it. You know what I mean? Doesn't take a whole lot of brain power. You don't have to analyze six ways from Sunday. Do what He calls you to do. Just do it. Third gift he talks about is teaching. As opposed to prophecy, teaching is not speaking for the Lord in ecstatic utterances. It's simply teaching people about living for Christ, living the godly life. It's a gift of giving help to Christian living in a practical aspect of our faith. We're going to look at Romans 12, 9 through 21 as an example of Paul's gift of teaching. I lead a small Bible study at the lab. I've been doing it for probably 22 years now. Every other week, every other Wednesday. And it's made up of a group of people that come sometimes, don't come sometimes. Some are new believers, some are mature believers, you know. There's a whole variety of people at that study, and there's about, I don't know, 30-some-odd people on the mailing list that exchange prayer requests and stuff like that. So my goal is to bring the Word of God to this group in a way that conveys relevant and practical teaching for Christian living. Now, I don't know if I'm accomplishing that goal, but that's my goal. And I'm motivated by the Holy Spirit to continue this study. Even now, since I've retired, I go back to the lab every other week. It's like not really an effort. It's just something I feel that the Lord wants me to do, and I just do it, the same as serving. If your gift is teaching, teach. I'm so thankful that Jonathan Ollett stepped to the plate, wanted to do a teaching on the Book of Mark. I'm not available on Wednesday evenings during the summer, but you know, I understand he's doing a great job, and he's motivated by the Holy Spirit to teach, and so he teaches. So let me read you an example of Paul's gift of teaching from Romans 12, same chapter we're in, verses 9 to 21. It's not on the screen. It's not important. Just listen to what Paul writes. He says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone." In the eyes of everyone, not just God. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Man, that's some powerful teaching he just did there. He lists all kinds of practical things, relevant things, that each of us need to keep in mind. So if your gift is teaching, teach. Don't hesitate. Fourth gift, encouraging or exhortation. This kind of encouragement has some practical implications. We're gifted with encouragement by the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of others. It may be physical, it may be financial, it may be emotional or spiritual, it may be picking up the phone and making a call that will just be the thing that that person needed to hear at that moment, and you've encouraged them. It's something that you don't have to study or practice. As God leads, just obey. Do whatever you can to help, freely, no strings attached. It's a giving thing. This is the will of God that you're following. Don't second guess yourself. If you feel that you should make that call or speak to that person or somehow give encouragement where it's needed, go for it. You're being motivated by the Holy Spirit to do that. Follow his motivation. The next gift, the fifth gift, is giving. This is a big one. Or is it? Before Christ, I was not a giver. Corrine was not a giver. We could hardly sustain our own existence. Then we came to faith in Christ. And over time, these things are all works in process, right? Progress. Over time, we felt compelled to start giving to the work of God in various ways. How could this happen? It's a gift. A gift of the Holy Spirit. And he puts it in us and he uses it and he accentuates it. And he brings compassion to our hearts. We begin to see the needs of others and the needs around us above and beyond our own needs. And sure, we still have our financial issues once in a while. But we're givers. Corrine probably more of a giver than I am. It really has nothing to do with us. We would never give the way we do now if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't for coming to Christ. Him working in our lives and transforming us, motivating us. I can't tell you how much the Holy Spirit is involved in our giving personally. And many of you are the same way. Why would you give to the needs of others when you have your own needs that need to be met? There's only one answer. It has to be a God thing. It's the motivation of the Holy Spirit. Sixth gift, leadership. And he says, lead diligently. And this gift has kind of a stipulation to it. There's an effort required on our part to be leaders. People sometimes use their position to relax. You know, they made it to this position of leadership. Now I can kick back and, you know, let everybody else do the hard stuff and I'll just oversee. Not the case. Paul's telling leaders in the church that they're to use their gift of leadership diligently. That means don't relax. Don't take advantage of your position. Don't use it to beat on others. We have a responsibility to the body of Christ to lead with the Spirit's direction and anointing. So don't enjoy the position of leadership for the position. Instead, humbly recognize those working with you and their gifts that they can contribute to getting things accomplished. And as a leader, do your best to lead effectively. Do the research that's required for your position so that you can best accomplish God's purpose and will in the church. Promote the effectiveness of others in your group or under your care. Look for others to take your place when the time comes. It's not a permanent position. Everything has a season with God. So if you're a leader, you should be looking and cultivating from within the next person to take your position. The last gift, showing mercy. This gift of the Holy Spirit has to do with ministering to the sick and the needy. I'm not personally gifted in this area, but anyone can do something to help someone in need, and we do. But someone who's gifted in this showing mercy, man, they're like at the hospital the moment they hear that someone they know is in there, or they're making the phone calls, or they're rallying up people to make meals when the person comes home from surgery. Well, you know, they're compelled by God to help those who have a need, whether they're sick or some other type of need, and you're compelled to help those that need it. I could think of several who do this and may not even realize that it's a gift of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Miriam Mavridis is an example to me. She stocks and maintains the food pantry, brings food to those in need at their homes. She's not alone. But she's made this her ministry. And the Holy Spirit has gifted her in a way that she is compelled to do what she does. She's motivated by the Holy Spirit. There are others, I'm sure. She's just one example, but one that shines to me. And she does this, as Paul instructed, with cheerfulness. She loves to do this. No one sees her actions. No one brings attention to her. She wouldn't want that. If I didn't ask for her permission, she wouldn't want me saying what I just said. But I did. She just moves in this area as the Spirit of God enables her. He changes everything. That's why we're preaching on this. The Holy Spirit, He changes everything. He's our motivator for these areas of ministry. And others that aren't even mentioned here, like I said, is just a few examples that Paul uses. And we would never do the things that we do in certain areas of ministry unless we were acted upon by some outside force. And thankfully, that force is holy and motivates us to do the things for the kingdom of God. So let me leave you with one passage, one verse from 1 Peter 4, verse 10. And Peter tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I read that again. Listen and do. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you have come to live in our lives who believe in Christ. And you don't just take up residence, God. You change us. You change everything. You transform us. Change our motives. Compel us to do what you will. And so, God, we acknowledge our need for you. And Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me today. Let me give you an opportunity. If you're dabbling in this area or not sure, or just would like to ask the Holy Spirit to come and enable your areas of giftings so you could be used for the kingdom of God. If you want to come forward, we'll pray together as a group. As Janet plays, make your way forward if you'd like prayer in this area. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.